We want to take a moment and express love and appreciation to the dads who are with us in worship this morning. I want to thank you for being here at First Baptist Church, worshiping the Father. Thank you for caring. Thank you for wanting to, you know, be a man of God. Thank you for wanting to worship the Lord. Thank you for wanting to be a positive example and have a positive impact on those in your life. And I really appreciate you wanting to be that kind of person and for the difference you're making and for being here today. I'd like for us to express appreciation to these guys. So guys, if you would, if you're dad, granddad, would you please stand right now so we can say thank you for being who you are. Go ahead, yeah. Remain standing, guys. And by the way, all of you who are sitting down, your job the rest of today is to make these who are standing feel extra, extra, extra special. Okay? What's your job? That's your job the rest of the day. Make them feel really special. This is not about you. It's about them. Make them feel special. Guys, thank you so much. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for these men, for their being here, for the love they have in their heart, for those in their lives, and for you. And I know we're all at different points in our journey, but Father, I pray we would all take a big step forward this day. I pray today you would bless these men. Give them a wonderful awareness of your love and your grace and your presence. I pray you would meet their needs. Give them everything they need as they seek to be a man of God, as they seek to be a husband, a dad, a brother, a friend. I pray, Father, that they would feel loved. And I pray that this day would be a good day, a really good day for each of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give them one more hand. Go ahead. Yeah, you can cheer. Go ahead. I want to talk about the best father ever. The best father ever. This is just one sermon in this series called Box of Chocolates. And the truth is, dads are kind of like a box of chocolate. You know, you open that box of chocolate and you don't know what you're going to get until you bite one of those pieces. They're all different. Dads are like that. Moms are like that. Kids are like that. Siblings are like that. Children are like that. People are like that. You don't know. We're all different, right? And some of you had great dads growing up. Some of you have great dads right now. Some of you had dads that were not so great. And some of you had dads who were somewhere in between different points on that continuum. Moms are like that. Some of you had great moms. Some of you had moms who were not so great. And even the best of us as dads are sort of like a box of chocolates. I know when I look at myself in the mirror, that's a box of chocolates. I take out a piece of candy and I bite it, and man, I love that piece. Then I take out another piece and I bite it, and it's got coconut in it, and I hate it, and I spit it out. And I have good days, and I have not so good days. Anybody like that? Some days I'm better than other days. Anybody like that? There's certain parts of my life I've got down a lot better than other parts of my life. Anybody like that? I mean, so people, dads and moms, we're all like a box of chocolate. And then in my own life, I'm like a box of chocolates. And there are people in this room who have a tough time on Mother's Day or Father's Day because you've lost loved ones. People in this room have a tough time because you're carrying around within you a lot of pain from the past. Some of you never knew your dad. It's amazing how many people never knew their dad. Some know who their biological father is, but they've either been abandoned or neglected or ignored. If I were to have 10 people stand on this stage representing all the children in America, in 1960, I would send one of those 10 to sit down, and that one would represent the number of children, the percentage of children in America who were not living in a home with their biological father. The other 9 would still have their dad in the home. If I were to do the same thing in 2012, 10 people standing here representing all the kids in this country, I'd have to have 4 of them go sit down representing the kids who are growing up without their dad in the home. It's a different world today. And there are some of you in this room. You've got all kinds of feelings and all kinds of thoughts. My dad was one of those in-between dads. Parts of his life were good candy, and parts of it were candy I spit out of my mouth. Most of my memories of Dad are very positive. I think about going fishing, squirrel hunting. Yeah, we like to eat squirrel. Think about going to a lot of bluegrass festivals when I was a kid with Dad. But I also have some very, very painful memories that were created by choices he made that impacted our family in a harsh way, in a hurtful way. And some of you feel like that. I've got a Bible verse for us this morning. Now, it's not the one I'm asking you to turn to. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to turn to John 14. But there's a verse that's going to be on the screen, and I want you to say it with me. This is my verse for everybody in the room who's carrying around pain because of the past with your parents, your dad, your mom, whomever. This is a verse. This is a word from God for all of us today. I want you to say it with me. We're going to read it in unison, okay? An old-fashioned unison reading of the Scripture. This is from Psalm 27, verse 10. Read with me, church. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Let's say that again. My father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. For those of you who are carrying around pain, those of you who never knew your father or your mother, those of you who knew them, but you know they neglected you or they abused you, they hurt you in some way, it doesn't matter who we are, what our circumstance, what our past, our background. Here's the thing. God says, I love you, and I want to be your father. When that verse says we've been forsaken, it literally means to be abandoned. And then when it says that God, the Lord, will take me up, I think the New American Standard and King James translate it that way. I think some versions translate, will care for me, will take me in, will receive me. In the Hebrew, it's the picture of someone gathering things together on a harvest. God says, you may have been neglected, you may have been hurt, you may have been abandoned, but I will gather you in. I'll bring you in like a harvest. I will take you in. I will care for you. I will gather you into my family. I will gather you into myself. God is saying, I want to be your father. And those of you who have a great father, those of you whose father's in heaven and you have wonderful, wonderful memories of him, I'm thankful for that. But I want to tell you the way our Heavenly Father loves you makes what your great father did pale in comparison. God says, I want to be your dad. I want to be your father. I want to love you, accept you, embrace you, bless you, help you, strengthen you, teach you, heal you. God says, I want to be your father. And that's the verse that I want those of you who are hurting to carry with you today. Is that God says, I'm going to take you in. I will gather you. I will embrace you. You're mine. You're mine. You're mine. Aren't you glad that God wants you? I know I am. That no matter what, even in those moments when I was hurting, I had a heavenly father who said, you're mine. And I love you. And I love you. Would you turn with me to John 14? Because if that is true, if God wants to be our father, it begs the question, what kind of father is he? What kind of father is the Lord? He says, I want to be your father. I want to embrace you, love you. What kind of father is he? In John 14, Jesus had just been teaching his disciples about death. His death, their death, and the anxiety it creates. And he was saying to them, don't worry, don't be anxious, because I'm preparing for you a place in my Father's house. And I'm going to come and get you one day and take you with me. And then you're going to live with me forever, forever in our Father's house. And it's in that setting that Philip asked Jesus a question in verse 8. He asked, Lord, show us the Father. If we're going to be living with you in the Father's house, show us the Father. Let us see him. What kind of Father is he? And Jesus answered in verse 9, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? Haven't you picked up on it yet, Philip? Then he added this, and here's the important part. Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Philip asked Jesus, can you show us the Father? What kind of Father is he? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because the Father and I are one. If you want to know what God is like, if you want to know what our Heavenly Father is like, all you have to do is look at Jesus Christ. What he did, what he said, for when you've seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. And Jesus revealed some things about the kind of Father he is. Let me just give you these real quickly, and I don't have as much time to preach today as normal because we have 11 young families that are going to come out here in a minute and when I finish preaching, and they're going to dedicate themselves to be Christian parents and are participating in this parent-child dedication. So we're going to leave about 15 minutes for that, okay? But let me just make these points real quick. Here's the first one. He's the kind of Father who loves us and sacrifices for us. The kind of Father who loves us and sacrifices for us. John 3:16, probably the best known verse in the world. God so what? Loved. Who? The world. Does the world include you? You better believe it does. God so loved you that he gave. You see, that's what love does. Love is not about the one who's loving. Love is about the one being loved. If I love, it's about the one I love and what I sacrifice for them. One of the reasons so many marriages struggle and fail is people make love about themselves. And it's not. Love is about the one you're loving. And God said, I love you so much that I gave my only begotten son, my one unique son, my best for you. That whoever believes, that if you believe, you don't have to perish, but instead have everlasting life. God says, I want to be your Father. Here's the kind of Father I am. I love you. And I don't just say it, I show it. And the way I show it is I sacrifice for you. That's the kind of Father your Heavenly Father is. I'm going to sacrifice for you. I'm going to give you my very best. I'm going to give you my Son. I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to give you everlasting life. I'm going to give you heaven. I'm going to give you my home. I'm going to give you me. I'm going to give you everything, everything that is a part of me and who I am and what I have. God doesn't hold any of it back. He says, you get me and you get all I got. Now that's a love. That's a great Father, right? But Jesus told us something else. Well, and by the way, I want to share this first. When he gave Jesus, it was so we could know him. And by the way, folks, parents, mom and dad, one of your primary responsibilities is to help your kids know how to know Jesus. Church, our mission is to help people know how to know Jesus Christ. We had a great week this week. We had zapped. Our Bible school zapped in here Sunday night through Thursday night. And then Friday evening we had the Outcast BMX event. And a lot of people here. And by the way, if you look on the screen, that's just one of the tricks that the riders did Friday night. They were crazy. They were crazy. It was a blast. How many of you were here Friday night? Did you enjoy that? I can't hear you. Yeah, it was a great night. This week, folks, between Zapped and Friday night's BMX, this week we had over 100 children make spiritual decisions of one kind or another. Praise the Lord for over 100 children make spiritual decisions. Now, some of those are young kids expressing their first interest in Jesus, and we've got to teach them. Others were kids who'd already accepted Christ and perhaps been baptized, and they're just reaffirming that. But many of them were kids making first-time decisions. Many of them were kids who don't go to church. Monisa was talking with two kids in the decision room Friday night who didn't go to church. They're from a family that doesn't go to church. We had a lot of that this week, and we praise the Lord for that. And when Jesus said that God wants to be your father, and he's the kind of father who sacrifices, loves you so much he sacrifices for you, he sacrifices because he wants you to have everlasting life. And God was loving a lot of kids this week. That's what God wants to do. That's the kind of father he is. Another thing Jesus told us about the Father is that he's one who forgives us and restores us when we mess up. Any of you ever messed up? Any of you ever had a really lousy day, made a really lousy decision? Any of you ever sinned? The Bible says we all have. I have, you have. In fact, the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But our Heavenly Father is the kind that when we mess up, he loves us. And he forgives us. And he restores us. Jesus in Luke 15 told the story about a young man who wanted his inheritance while his father was still living. And for some reason, the father gave it to him. That young man went off to a foreign country and wasted everything the father had worked for years to give him. Wasted it on wild living, immoral living, stupid living. He messed up. He squandered all of it. And he was down about as low as you could get. And Jesus said one day that young man who messed up so terribly came to his senses and said to himself, I'm going home. I'm going to ask my father for a job. I'm not going to ask him to take me back as his son because I'm no longer worthy to be his son. I've messed up so bad I have no right to claim being part of the family anymore. But maybe dad will get me a job. And so he started home. And Jesus said the father was looking, saw his young boy coming home in the distance. And that father ran to his boy. And he embraced him. He kissed him on the cheek and on the neck. And he cried on his shoulders. And he put clean clothes on him. And he had a party. And he said, this my son who was dead is alive, who was lost is found. That's the kind of father our Heavenly Father is. That when we mess up, he says, I will welcome you and I will love you and forgive you and restore you. All you've got to do is come to your senses and come home. Because the Father can't do for you if you're gone. He can't help you if you're never around. And so when you come to your senses and you come home to the Father, he says, you will see that I love you and I forgive you and I restore you and I help you and I do all those things I've always wanted to do for you. That's the kind of father he is. The third thing real quickly Jesus told us about the Heavenly Father is that he's one who hurts when we hurt. He empathizes and sympathizes and feels with us. In John 11, I love this story of an experience Jesus had when Lazarus died. Lazarus had two sisters, Martha, Mary, and the Bible in John 11 says that Jesus loved them so much. He often stayed at their home. And Lazarus died and was buried. And Jesus made it to the little town where they lived and went to the cemetery. Martha and Mary, the sisters there, and they're grieving and they're crying. And then the Bible says as Jesus stood there at that grave, these sisters that he loved hurting, it says that he groaned. And in the Greek, it literally means it gripped his gut. You ever felt something emotional so strongly that it tugged at you on the inside? I mean, you just felt it ripping you apart in here. That's how Jesus felt as he stood there seeing these sisters hurt. He groaned in his gut, in his being for them. And then the shortest verse in the Bible, two words, Jesus wept. See, our high priest, Jesus Christ, who's touched by our infirmities and our weaknesses and our struggles. When we hurt, he hurts. You don't have a Heavenly Father who's off here somewhere remote and distant and doesn't care and doesn't feel and doesn't get it and doesn't understand. You have a father who stepped into this world through Jesus Christ and experienced all kinds of hurt himself. He experienced rejection and people not understanding him, and he experienced betrayal and heartbreak, and he experienced loneliness, and he experienced death. And you have a heavenly father who hurts when you hurt. And then one last thing is you have a heavenly father who lavishes his love on you. In 1 John chapter 3, if you want to turn there in your Bible, not the Gospel of John, but the book of 1 John over toward the end of your New Testament. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "See how great a love, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, has given us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are." There's a line in a country song Brad Paisley put out 15, 20 years ago. And this is kind of spontaneous, so I hope I get it right. That says something like this: "I wish or pray that I'm half the father he didn't have to be." Any of you remember that song? About him being a little boy and his mom raising him as a single mom and her dating and guys finding out she had a boy and therefore not wanting to date her anymore, and him feeling rejected. And one guy came and he takes her on a date, and I think they go to a movie or something, and he takes the little boy with him the first time. And that father adopted, became a father. Now this little boy is a young man, and he's married, and he's having his own child, and they're standing there in the waiting room, and the son, half the father he didn't have to be. Do you get it? You see, all of us, me, you, each and every one of us in this room, were not biologically born as children of God. The world says we're all children of God. The Bible says, no, that's not true. We're not all children of God. Sin separates us from God. We're conceived in sin. We're born as sinners. And the Bible says we're children of Satan. We're in the domain of hell, not heaven. But Jesus died on that cross to purchase our freedom from that slave master, the devil, so that we could be free and be a member of his family. And then he says he adopts us into his family. And in that verse there in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "See how great a love the Father has loved us with, that he called us sons of God." And then he said, because that's what we are, because God loves you in such a way that when you come into his family, you are his child, you are his son, you are his daughter. And he loves you in a way that nobody on this earth could ever love you. Then verse 3 of that chapter says, we purify ourselves because he's pure. And what that means is this: we feel so loved. The love that God has is lavished on us so much that our natural response is we want to be like him. Our heavenly Father loves us so much we want to be like our daddy. We want to be like our father. Do you get it? You see, as believers, as Christians, we don't try to live a righteous life and a godly life and serve and do all these things because we're trying to earn our way into becoming a member of his family. We do it because we are in the family. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us with a lavish love, with an everlasting love, with a forgiving love, with a healing love. And I pray right now in this room, Father, for all the people that are carrying all kinds of emotions and hurts, that they would come to their senses and open themselves to your love and allow the healing to begin. That they would come to you and experience what acceptance and what transformation and what life is all about. And Father, I pray that all of us would love you with all our hearts. Thank you for loving us the way you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. And as we sing this song, you make your way to the front to kneel here and pray, to come to Christ. Come to your senses and say, I'm coming to Jesus. I'm coming to Jesus. And come to him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and say, Jesus, today I'm giving myself fully to you. You gave yourself completely for me. And right now, Jesus, I'm giving myself completely to you. If you need to join this church, we invite you. Let's sing together. Can you come?
Abba Father, my defender, you are holy, and I surrender, for in my weakness, you protect me, and when my heart strains, you protect me, I cry out.
Thank you for loving us and allowing us to call you not only God, not only King, not only Lord, but Father, Daddy, and for those words being true. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. We have these families who are coming in now for the parent-child dedication, and as they make their way in, let me just share a couple of things.